Now let's take one, please, out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Oh, incidentally, you may be seeing that my approach in this seminar today is study notes and Bible, and then the screen supporting us a little. I like to get into the Word. I like you to read the Word. Old Herbert W. Armstrong used to say on the television, go and get your Bible. Go and get your Bible. But of course he misled people, and praise the Lord, half of that group have become evangelical Christians, as you may now know, and officially been welcomed into the evangelical church. Wonderful revival of grace amongst Herbert W. Armstrong followers. That's another exciting story. So here we are in Ezekiel 37:26. Now let's identify the covenant here, please. I'm going to read verse 25. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and there they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them, multiply them, and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. These verses are bulging with wonderful truths. Notice here the covenant. A new name now. What is it? Covenant, we've had the everlasting, thank you. Covenant of peace, yes. So we've got both of them mentioned here. Everlasting covenant and the covenant of peace. And one that we cannot talk on, but the Lord setting his sanctuary amongst them again and tabernacling with them. You want to read about that? It's the last 9 chapters in the book of Ezekiel when God comes back. Well, some have said, oh yes, these references here, they are all fulfilled when they came back from the Babylonian captivity. What do you think? No. Partially? Okay. Completely? Exhaustively? No. We believe there's a day coming. Right, now let's have a look at this particular book of covenant. Jeremiah chapter 30, 31, 32, and 33 have been called by Bible students and Bible scholars the book of hope. Why? Because hope is mentioned here. Let's have a look at this in chapter 31, verse 17. We're back to Jeremiah now, and I have to go quickly. Jeremiah 31 and verse 37. 31:37. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping, and your eyes from tears, and your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy, for there is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their border. Now here is the tone of these 3 chapters. You've got to read Jeremiah to get this. I remember in one of our services just recently, our church went through the book of Jeremiah. And one fellow had had enough. And he got up, walked down the aisle and said, gloom and doom, by going through the book of Jeremiah. And it is. You've got to be prepared. And you'll feel the heartbeat of God. But here, 30, 31, 32, and 33 is the book of hope. Stop weeping. Now start rejoicing. You're coming back. I'm going to meet you again. We'll make a new agreement together. We'll make a new covenant. And it'll be forever. It's much like a lily in a pond. Now the pond there, you see the leaves. fairly plain, but on the pond is that lovely lily. Well, this section, 30 through 33, is that lily in the midst of the book of Jeremiah. It is a book of hope. And right inside that book is another book called by Bible scholars the Book of Hope. And that is, within the Book of Hope, there is that section which is the New Covenant Revelation, particularly 31 and 33. So what I've given here, so that we won't get lost and we can't develop it, but you may like to look at some of these references, I think we'd better leave it there. Here is a general overview of it, you see. And I've used a few R's here for a little bit of alliteration. The emphasis in chapter 30 is a regathering. Of course, this will be the contextual setting for the new covenant itself, you see. That's the important part. There's the regathering, an eschatological regathering, an end-time regathering. And then we find in 31 there is a general theme of renewing that we're going to have a look at. We're actually going to go into the text of the New Covenant line by line in that 31st chapter there. The wonderful prophecy of the renewal. And then in 32, we're going to see a theme of regeneration, actually getting a new heart for the nation of Israel. And then in the 33rd chapter, I've called it reconsecration, because there we have King David, or the line of King David, reigning, and the priests and the Levites in the Messianic age again serving the Lord, and the nation that has been shunted off on the side of the program of the church now comes back and is renewed in the kingdom age, in the millennial age, and is totally reconsecrated to God. And all the nations of the world see the glory of the Lord, and the knowledge of the Lord covers the waters, as the waters cover the sea. So the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. The earth will be filled with His glory when the nation of Israel is reconsecrated back in the land. Someone has said, when Israel is out of the land, planet Earth is not blessed. When Israel is back in the land, that's where planet Earth will be blessed. Of course, we have the program of the church going on. Praise the Lord for that. But we know the church doesn't change nations that much. It can, it has, but that's not its program. To civilize the world, or bring Christian civilization, call out the people for His name.